Hello, church. It's good to be with you today. Welcome back to the home studio here in my greenhouse. It's the quietest place in the house, except maybe not so much today because there are tractors going by outside. My youngest daughter is mowing the lawn, and she's been coming by behind me here as I've been setting up and getting ready today, although I think she's done here and has moved on to the upper part of the yard, so I think it's going to be nice and quiet now. It's also kind of the hottest place in the house, but not so bad at the moment. It's early in the day, hasn't gotten hot outside yet. We'll see. I don't think I'll want to be in here later, but I'm glad to be here right now with you. May God bless you today. We've been apart for quite a while. This is frustrating. We're ready to be done with this and be able to get back together and just encourage each other in person. But I want you to know that you are constantly in my prayers and that you are constantly in the prayers of our elders, and they are very concerned for you, and so am I, and I know you're concerned for us as well. Thank you for that. Keep praying for each other. Watch for anyone who needs extra help. Let us know how we can best help you and serve you as we continue to go through this pandemic together. God's going to get us through this. God's going to get us through this, and he is doing so already. Recently, I listened to an interview with a woman named Caroline. She had a very difficult story to listen to. At age 11, she had to have an emergency surgery done to stop a potentially deadly infection. The doctor had to perform a hysterectomy. And after waking up from that surgery and learning what had happened, she spent the rest of her growing up years knowing that she would never be able to bear a child. That was hard for her, but it didn't really hit her until her 20s, when many friends were getting married and having children, and you can imagine how difficult that was for her, knowing she would never be able to experience the kind of thing that they were commonly experiencing. Some of you, both women and men, know what this is like. You know how hard it is to want a child and wonder if you'll ever be able to have one of your own. And to plead with God some days, and to be angry with God other days, and then some days to go to a baby shower, which for a person who's not able to have a child is an act of tremendous courage. And going to that baby shower, and paradoxically and simultaneously being on the one hand joyful for the expectant mother and family, and on the other hand being somewhere between heartbroken and furious with God that he hasn't answered your prayer. I think Caroline could understand what life must have been like for Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Genesis 11, verse 30, which comes before God changes Sarai's name to Sarah, says, "Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive." Well, today, Caroline is happily married, and her husband doesn't feel a need for them to have children who are theirs biologically. He married her knowing that they would not be able to have children of their own, and that was fine with him. But she still struggles sometimes with anger at God because she can never conceive and bear a child. You know, that anger with God that Caroline still feels today, that anger might mature over time. It might gain perspective over time, but it never completely goes away. Not until one day when God makes all things new. Sarah had her husband Abraham, but she couldn't bear him a child. And he wanted children, a son especially. I wonder how often Sarah might have been angry with God. We live in a broken, messed up world. Our bodies and our spouses' bodies don't always work right. This pandemic that we're in just proves again that our world is broken. But we didn't need a pandemic to remind us of that. We see that every day. And God gets that. And he understands what we're going through. And he helps us even when we grieve and lament and cry out at him in anger. Sarah experienced that brokenness of the world firsthand. And yet, somehow, she endured in faith. Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12, says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." You know, it's not just men who are faithful to God, obviously. Sarah was faithful too. We tend to focus on Abraham, but Sarah was right there with him through it all. She was unable to conceive, yet she held to her faith in God. This is a tough passage to translate in Greek, verse 11 especially. Some translations take this passage as referring to the faith of Abraham, not as Sarah. But today, nearly all of our translations take it as referring to Sarah's faith, and so that's the way I'll approach this passage today. Being childless was not easy for Abraham and Sarah. In fact, it bothered them so much that according to Genesis 16, when Abraham was 86 years old and Sarah, his wife, was 76, when it was much too late for Sarah to be able to have a child, she did something that's pretty much unthinkable in our culture, but was an accepted practice for childless couples in their culture. She gave her servant Hagar to Abraham to be his concubine so that perhaps Hagar could give him and Sarah a son. It was almost like having a surrogate mother. Not quite, but kind of in that direction. And it worked. Hagar became pregnant, had a son. Abraham named him Ishmael. It turns out that it was Sarah's body, not Abraham's, that was unable to produce a child. So Sarah's plan worked, but then it backfired. Hagar, the concubine, began to despise Sarah, the wife. There was strife in the home. Ishmael, though he was Abraham's son, was never accepted as Sarah's son. You know, Sarah was just trying to provide for Abraham what she could not give him herself. But as far as we know, she didn't ask God if this was the right thing to do, the right way to go. And it turns out that God actually had bigger plans for this couple than they thought were possible. This next event takes place when Abraham is 99 years old and Sarah is 89. Ishmael is about 12 years old. Genesis 17, verse 15. "God also said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her.' Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, 'If only Ishmael might live under your blessing.' Then God said, 'Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year.' When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him." God gives Abraham the most incredible promise. "You're 99 years old. Your wife is 89 years old. By this time next year, I'm going to give the two of you a son." And what was Abraham's first response? He laughed. Well, of course he laughed, right? Who wouldn't? He and his wife were too old. Then Abraham gives God some advice. Hey, Lord, I have a better idea. Why don't you just give your blessing to Ishmael? That would be all right. You know, we could live with that. That would be fine. He's already here. And God basically said, okay, but no, that's not how we're going to do it. I will bless him, but my covenant with you, the covenant to give you the land of Canaan and to make you into a great nation and to bless the world through you, that I'm going to fulfill through Sarah's son, not through Ishmael. And so then God instructs Abraham to name this miraculous son who's coming, Isaac. In Hebrew, the word Isaac means he laughs. God promised, and Abraham laughed. And God was never going to let Abraham forget it. Now, we don't know whether Abraham told Sarah what God had said about her bearing a son. One would assume he did, but we just don't know. A short time later, God spoke to Abraham again. This is Genesis 18, beginning in verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." We find out that later that two of these so-called men who came to Abraham are angels, and the third is either the Lord himself or an angel speaking on behalf of the Lord. That third person there repeats God's promise from chapter 17. About this time next year, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. This time, Abraham does not laugh. This is the second time he's heard this promise. But this time, Sarah hears it, and she laughs. And of course, she says to herself, "Now? Now, after all these years, when I'm worn out and he's old, now I'm going to get pregnant and have a child?" The Lord hears her, naturally, and he says, "Why did she laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And Sarah denies that she laughed, but the Lord knows that she did. Over the course of the next year, the promise comes true. And so this is Genesis 21 now, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Genesis says the Lord was gracious to Sarah. She became pregnant, and the promised son was born. And Abraham named him just as God told him to. He laughs. Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And Sarah laughed again, but this time it was the laughter of great joy. She said, God has brought me laughter. She could have been holding her son in her arms, and her son named, he laughs, when she said this. And she said, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. You know, faith doesn't always get off to a perfect start. And that's okay. It's not how we start in our faith, but how we finish that matters most. Although the better we can start, the better it will be for us as we continue to grow. Abraham and Sarah both laughed. But faith, even if it stumbles at first, hangs in there with God. And as it spends time with God, as it sees him work over time, faith grows. And so Abraham and Sarah, they hung in there with God all those years, all those decades, even though for so long they did not receive the child they'd always hoped God would give them, until it wasn't even a possibility anymore in their minds. God had blessed them in many ways, but not in this way. But now God steps in, and finally the promise is fulfilled. Now, why did God give them a child and not some other couple who was praying hard for the same blessing? We don't know, of course. But remember how hard it was for them before the blessing came. God blessed them, but they did not by any means have an easy life. But God had promised to give them many descendants, and now he's bringing about the beginning of the fulfillment of that promise. Faith does not guarantee that God will make all our dreams come true, even the reasonable dreams. It does, however, open us up to receive whatever blessings God chooses to give us, and it calls us to endure before and when and after God blesses us. Abraham and Sarah put their faith in God, even if they laughed when they first heard his plans for them. Sometimes my first response, like theirs, to something God is doing or God calls me to believe or to do, sometimes my first response isn't very faithful. It can be hard for me to see how obedience to God today is going to bring a blessing tomorrow. I just don't see tomorrow very clearly. And that's why we need to continually grow in faith. Keep watching what God is doing. Keep seeing what God has done in the past and think about it. Make it a part of the way we think just all the time. By faith, we see how God has blessed his people of the past who are faithful. And we know he will be faithful to us if we obey his commands. Sarah laughed twice. And she hung in there with God all those hard, hard years. And as a result, God chose her along with Abraham to be the couple through whom he blessed the world. The nation of Israel came from their son Isaac. Jesus our Lord came from the nation of Israel. And through Jesus our Lord, God blesses the world. After it mentions Sarah's faith, Hebrews chapter 11 goes on to say in verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. All these people Abraham, Sarah, their son Isaac, his son Jacob, none of them received everything God had promised to give to them. God promised to give Abraham and Sarah the promised land and to make them the parents of a great nation. Well, they didn't receive the fullness of that promise in their lifetime. They lived in the land, but only as strangers there. They stayed in tents. They moved from place to place. They had little to no property of their own. They were promised a nation, but they had only one child together. But they looked ahead. And they believed by faith that God, who had begun to fulfill his promise in their time, would bring it to completion in the time of their descendants. And God did, through the nation of Israel, descended from Abraham and Sarah. Faith knows that we live in a broken world. And yet it looks ahead to God's ultimate promises and continues forward in hope, both before and after receiving God's gifts. We haven't yet received anything close to what God has promised us. None of the blessings that God gives us can approach what he has promised to give us when Jesus comes again. Every tear will be wiped from our eyes, every hurt taken away, every wound healed, creation recreated and renewed, joy unmitigated. None of his blessings today can approach all that. None except the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives to help us and guide us and comfort us, and the love that we have for one another. The writer of Hebrews says Abraham and Sarah were able to press on in faith until they died because the country they were looking for wasn't Haran, the country they had left at God's command, or Canaan, the country to which God had led them, but the country they were looking for was a better heavenly country. And so they are, in this sense, models of living by faith, even when you don't receive what you're waiting for God to give you. In this case, their case, the promised land and children who would become a nation. And so we walk by faith, receiving with joy all the blessings God gives, waiting patiently for everything else as we look forward to the complete fulfillment of God's promises. Those who live by faith don't always receive the blessings they hope for in this life, but we continue on in faith because we're looking for a heavenly country and the city that God has prepared for us. Even if God were to give us everything we asked or hoped for in this life, our eyes would still be focused on the country and city that are to come. And as the writer of Hebrews says, God is not ashamed to be called their God, the God of people like Abraham and Sarah, who delight in him, who rejoice in his blessings, whose faith was perhaps weak at first, but grew from skeptical laughter into the laughter of grateful delight, and who never received the full promises of God in this life, and yet continue on in faith, trusting that God is faithful and that the best is yet to come. Caroline, whom I mentioned earlier, who couldn't bear children, she and her husband decided to begin taking in foster children, and in time they adopted two of those children as their own. And later they also adopted the child of a relative. And so today this woman who thought she might never have children has three. That's one way in which God has blessed her. He hasn't healed her body. She still cannot have children biologically her own. But God has blessed her, and she is grateful. God may be faithful to others in other ways, but he is always faithful. He continually strengthens us. He helps us endure the brokenness of this life. He listens to us and grieves with us as we grieve, and he helps us to walk by faith. And there will come a day when all of us, I think, will laugh like Sarah did as she held her little son with the unmitigated joy that comes from seeing God's promises all entirely fulfilled. One day, Jesus will come again, and we will share in that great, unmitigated joy. By faith, we continue on, waiting for that day. Sarah, like her husband Abraham, is a witness for us that God is faithful and that he will fulfill all his promises in due time. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." If we're going to run this race of faith, we have to run it with perseverance, like Sarah did, like Jesus did most of all. He persevered on the cross. He died to bring us to God. Despite his suffering, he believed that God would be faithful. And God was, and God raised him from the dead. And today, Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Be faithful, my friends, like Sarah, like Jesus our Lord, most of all. One day, all of God's promises will be fulfilled, and we will rejoice with Sarah and with Abraham and with Jesus our Lord in the city that he has prepared in that heavenly country that we're looking forward to. Be faithful until then, my dear friends, and may God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for your faithfulness. We thank you for your blessing to Sarah after many decades of faithfulness. We pray, Lord, that you would be faithful to us as well, that you would bless us and lead us to that heavenly country that we're looking forward to. Lord, work in our hearts. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, bless all those women and men who, like Sarah, have dreamed of having a child, have not been able to have one. We pray, Lord, that you would be kind to them and that you would bless them richly. And we would pray, Lord, that you would give them what they ask and hope for. Father, we know that we don't receive everything we want in this life. We don't understand why that needs to be that way. But we pray, Lord, that you would give us eyes of faith to see the blessings you do give and to appreciate those and to continue to be faithful to you, because we know that you are faithful to us. Lord, thank you for all your kindness. Thank you for giving us life this day. Help our city, help our nation, help our world. We look to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you today.